Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, I want to get back to our verse by verse in the book of Jude. We're going to finish Jude today. We left off at verse 21. Today, we're going to go 22 to verse 25 and finish this small book of Jude. And then we're going to jump into another book as soon as I can. So let's get started, starting off at verse 22. And Jude says, and some having compassion, making a difference. So Jude is telling us here how to interact with others. And in this case, he says, making a difference by compassion. That word compassion means mercy. So we can make a difference in people's lives by having compassion, having mercy upon them. Jesus told us about the merciful, Matthew 5:7. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so we reach out to some in merciful love. We call them always to the gospel. Mercy, a lot of people have this wrong. Mercy doesn't mean that we overlook sin in ourselves or in others. God's not going to have mercy and overlook everyone's sin. Mercy calls us to help others out of their sin through repentance by preaching the gospel to them, having compassion enough to tell them the truth. We call them, we call ourselves out of it. This is for people who may be close to the kingdom, willing to seek the kingdom, not against the kingdom, not standing in willful sin, totally against the kingdom. If they don't leave their sin, they're going to be lost. Compassion calls them to repentance, to Christ. It's the best thing we can do for their soul. Amen? Amen. So think of that. Mercy is a very, very good thing for us to have. It's a fruit that we know God. God was merciful on us. Remember the parable about the man that was forgiven a debt, and then he went out and was mean to everybody that owed him a debt? Yeah. Yeah, he got dealt with, didn't he? Yeah, he did. And so we don't want to do that. God shows us mercy by giving us forgiveness, by calling us to repentance and leaving our sin. We want to do that same thing for others. Give the opportunity for others to find mercy and come out of their sin. Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even their garment, the garment spotted by the flesh. Okay, so Jude gives us a totally different approach here. We're warning others, saving them with fear. What are we fearful of? Well, if we're smart, we're fearful of God's wrath. Proverbs tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So saving others with fear, that could be fear in us that they're going to be lost if we don't help them. It should be fear in them that they are going to be lost and suffer the wrath of God if they don't repent. Fear can work on both sides. Now, these may be people that are farther from coming to the kingdom. You know, like we talk about the difference between the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee thinks he's really good and he's far from the kingdom. The publican knows he's a sinner and he's closer to the kingdom. The publican might get more mercy. The Pharisee needs fear. He needs a rebuke. He needs a call to come. And so I think that's what Jude is talking about here. It's like if people are driving down a highway and the bridge is out, they need a stern, quick, loud warning. That's kind of how I always look at it. He says, pulling them out of the fire. Well, again, that would be the fire to come. That's God's judgment. That would be hell, God's wrath. They must be in it or near it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be having to be pulled out of it, right? Like being in quicksand. You're in quicksand. You need help to get out of it. This is helping others out of sin and out of false ways. That will destroy them. That's what separates us from God. Sin, false ways, transgression against God's law. He's saying here, others with fear, pulling them out of the fire. James makes a similar statement, James 5:19 and 20. brethren, and if any of you do err from the truth, and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." Hey, so much for once saved, always saved, huh, saints? Yeah, you can fall into sin, and you can be lost as a saint. That's exactly what James says, and many other verses as well. And then Brother Jude says this, "Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Garment, yeah, that means tunic or coat. It always does in the scriptures. Spotted by the flesh. Flesh is sarx. That isn't talking about like your flesh and bones in the context. That's talking about your carnal man, your fleshly man that causes us to sin. That's the battle of the flesh versus the spirit, right? The flesh is something Paul talks about that we always have to crucify. He talks about that in the book of Galatians. So this means we're to help others out of their sin, and we hate the sin that we're trying to get them out of, as we love them and try to save their soul. Psalm 119:104 says, "I hate every false way." We know God hates lying and things like that. So we're to hate sin, love the person in the sin. That's absolutely true. It's a spirit versus the flesh battle. It never ends this side of heaven. You're always going to be wrestling your flesh, although you will get better at it. I have, praise God, all to his glory, not mine. You will get better at it. And we need to get rid of all sin and all transgression. Paul warned, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump or loaf. That's sin, Galatians 5:9. So we're to hate it. We're to purge it out. Jude says, even hating the garment. That means just hate it all. Hate all the sin that would so easily beset us and carry us away. And so that's what I think Jude is talking about there when he says, save others with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We hate every part of our fallen human nature. We hate sin. We hate transgressions. We hate every false way. We hate all rebellion. And we pull people from that fire to the saving of their souls. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy, or glory of his, excuse me, the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So Jude says, keep you from falling. Aptestos. That means to be in sin. I think that's where we get the word apostasy from. Right? We know that we can fall into sin and apostasy and fall away, right? Brother Paul warns us, 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yeah, that can absolutely happen. We saw it in James. Now we see Paul says people can leave the faith. These people that lie to you and tell you, well, no, once you're saved, born again, you're saved, always saved, once saved, always saved. That's an absolute lie. Scripture doesn't teach that anywhere. And then Jude goes on to tell us a glorious, wonderful hope and truth. He says, Christ is able and is also working in us. He's working with us. Without that, we'd have no hope, would we, saints? No. Philippians 1:6 tells us that too. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah, isn't that awesome to think that Christ is working on our behalf? I always teach this. Salvation is all of Christ. It's his perfect work. We can't get there without it. But then our response to what he did in that perfect work as we enter a blood covenant with him. We each have a part to play. Christ is doing his perfect work, as Jude and Philippians 1:6 says. Then our part of the covenant is to come after, to seek, to obey, to follow, to submit ourselves unto him. That's the fruit that we know him. Jesus tells us in John 10:28, "And I give unto you them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. So a lot of false teachers like to use this verse and say, see, you can't lose your salvation. Those are the people that God knows will make it into the kingdom in the end of days. God knows that. You and I don't know that. So we all must continue to strive. We don't know the future, do we? We all could fall away. That's absolutely true, including me. This doesn't mean we can't leave our salvation. It doesn't mean that we have it locked up. What it means is Christ will never lose any of his own. He will never stop what he's doing for us. His true sheep will gain eternal life. They will endure, and he helps us along the way. God knows the future. He knows who's going to be there. That's what that is talking about. And then Jude says this, that to be presented faultless. So Christ, in his glorious shed blood, his finished work on the cross, the stake, I like to call it, that's what it was. He died on a stake, a tree. Our past is washed clean by Christ. First John 1:7. We're cleansed by him, right? As we repent of our sin that we do currently. So our past is cleansed when we come to him in repentance. Then any sin we do from the time we put our faith in him onward, we need to repent of that sin. It's not automatically cleansed if we just live in him. You think we can just sin willfully on and our sin is just automatically cleansed? No, the Bible says we must confess, we must repent, we must turn from, and then Christ acts as our perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be made, could be the righteousness of God. All right? But willful, ongoing sin, a person that's claiming Christ, oh, it's not covered by his sacrifice. Go read Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. You got to repent of your sin. You got to forsake your sin. Basically, you have to hand Christ your sin in repentance, then he'll cover it. You hold on to it and keep practicing and doing it, it's on your record. You own it. And you will have a huge debt you cannot pay. What a joy to know that all our sin in the past is covered. All our sin in the present and future will be covered if we forsake it and don't live in it willfully. All in Christ's name. It's all about him and then our response to what he has done. Amen? That is him presenting us faultless because of what he's done and then working in us to carry it through. Verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. All right, so Jude ends his letter by saying, praise God, our Savior. This is another proof. I saw it all through the book of Matthew where people were worshiping Jesus, calling him my Lord, my God. Another proof of Jesus' deity. Groups like the Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons and others don't believe, some Hebrew roots groups, they don't believe Jesus is God. The Bible is very clear. People worshiped him. They called him Savior and God, kind of like Thomas's quote, John 20:28. And Thomas answers and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He said that to Jesus when he was doubting him. Then when Jesus showed him the wounds, he said, my Lord and my God. Yeah, Jesus is fully God. Jude says, to glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Dominion. Let's talk about this for a minute. God told man to take dominion in Genesis over the earth and the animals. God has dominion over the entire planet, over the entire nation. And without a doubt, he will have that control until the end of earth and end of times. There will be an end of the earth. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. But God has dominion. He's in control. And so we as saints, we can never lose sight of that, that God is in control of the earth. He's in control of his people. He's even in control of his enemies. He's definitely in control of Satan. And Satan is going to have his day of judgment, as are all of God's enemies. So what a glorious thing to think about, that God is always in control, having dominion. Reminds me of Isaiah 66:1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Yeah, the earth is the Father's footstool. Isn't that awesome to think about? I love that. The earth is his footstool. Satan has a kingdom on this earth for a season, on this fallen kingdom, on this fallen world because of sin. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. But one day Christ is going to come back. He's going to redeem it all physically. He's going to rule again. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. We're going to read a verse for you there. And it's all going to be redeemed for the Father because of Christ's perfect work and the Father giving him all power. Right? He told us that in the book of Matthew. And Christ will rule once again by an iron rod, a new heaven and a new earth. This is what Jude is talking about. All, I love that. Jude says, to the only wise God and our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. I love that. I absolutely love that. I'm going to leave you with this verse, Revelation 21, 1 and 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city in New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I love that verse. What a glorious thing to look forward to. But first, we got our part in the covenant to do. We got to battle through this flesh. We got to battle and avoid sin. As Jude is telling us, we got to avoid false teachers. He warned us about it on and on as we went through in the study and saw. If you wonder, saints and seekers, if you're listening, why I contend for the faith, Jude told us to do that in the early verses, why I teach sound doctrine that is counter to false teachers, and why I call out the false teachers, go ahead and read this little book again. It'll explain to you why it's important that we earnestly contend for the faith once delivered, stand on the truth, expose false teachers, warn those that are seeking the kingdom, and lift up Christ and his glorious kingdom to come. Hey, we're just going to leave it right there. That finishes up this book of Jude. I wonder what book we're going to pick next. We shall see. We shall see. Thank you for taking this journey with me. We care for you very much. Go to don'tperish.com. Click on the verse by verse. Listen to all the past verse by verses. Thousands of articles, audios, videos, sisters blogs, sisters teachings, street preaching videos. Everything there to help edify you in the faith. All for free. We labor because we love God, love our neighbor. We want to see the truth lifted up in these last days. Hey, till next time, go out, have a glorious day. Repent and obey the gospel. God be praised.